Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
WTAM.com, keyword money, filling up $2.94 average for a gallon of gas this morning. You're waiting on the third, aren't you? You're waiting on the third.
They go in threes here, yeah, right. You know.
Weekend with a couple of losses for on the
popular people.
Right? Yeah, all right. Well, everybody, you're popular. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Scooter Reese, a little trending coming
pop
up.
Pop culture.
Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Good morning, Pat Bowman.
Good morning.
Thank you. Bad weather. Cleveland 3 News forecast from meteorologist Matt Standridge. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance of an isolated pop-up shower will be in the 70s. Clouds tonight, scattered showers tomorrow, and the low 70s. Temp right now, I've got 57 at your severe weather station. Indians split the doubleheader again. Mike Snyder Sports coming up.
Keep your eyes off some app and on the road. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Sound of the 70s, Big J Thomas. Passes over the long weekend at 78, right?
Yes, 78. He had a bout with lung cancer. But everybody knows him from this song, and also he got the Oscar for Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid for what he did, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
So Robert Redford didn't like the song, didn't think it would fit in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I read that over the weekend, yeah. And got the award for it, so
yep.
There you go, B.J. Thomas.
B.J. Thomas.
And Love Boat, we lost the captain, huh?
Yep, Gavin McLeod dies at 90 years old. You know him as the great Captain Steubing of Love Boat, Murray from Mary Tyler Moore. And I just, as I was looking at the articles, Bill, I did not know this. McLeod tried out for Archie Bunker. And
oh, really?
He was so relieved that Carol Connor got the role because of the stuff, the bigoted things that
right.
he had to say.
He didn't want to do it.
Didn't want to do it. And then he also tried out for Mr. Grant before he got Murray.
I saw Ed Asner tweet, it's me and Betty now.
Yeah, it's him
with
and Betty.
Loss of,
with Gavin McLeod. Yeah.
All right, also this morning, Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Dylan's in the news last week or two with a...
he's always in the
he's
news.
He's always in the yes. news. And now there's a story about an album returned to the library, right?
University Heights Library. Howard Simon took out the copy of Self-Portrait album by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Returned it 48 years later. He got
Howard,
it out.
What are you doing?
Yes, I guess he was cleaning up and he found it. He took it out of the spring of 73 when he was 14.
Okay.
So then he ended up sending it back, you know, it was overdue 17,488 days overdue. And he wrote a note and I think he gave him, a little bit of
Late fees, it would be $1,748. And the replacement fee of $175, I guess, is the way they work the math, if he were to pay for it.
Right. But I guess he did give a little compensation.
Yeah, so. That was still nice. He didn't take it and sell it at a yard sale.
No.
He returned it after all these
But
years.
Then again, if he'd have hung on to this and said this was from a library, how much, maybe more he could have been, you never know.
Yeah, you got to return things. You got to return things.
Well, just as long as he returned it.
Libraries love Kindle because they take the book back. You check it out for like 30 days and you get a warning. Hey, we're taking this book back.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's all electronic now. All right, Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Check those out. Scoop, thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
Coming up in 5, we will talk to our Rory O'Neill about American Airlines joining Southwest banning alcohol sales. You think people will be able to fly without drinking? We'll get to that coming up with Rory on News Radio, WTAM 1100. All right, sports. Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. Mike Snyder is in. How about the Tribe?
Well, Bill, the Indians dropped game one of a doubleheader with the White Sox yesterday, but they did bounce back in the nightcap.
Now the 3-1 pitch. Swung at it, blasted. Deep to right field. Way back, gone. And Jose Ramirez puts the Tribe on top 3-1.
Jose Ramirez, boy, getting it done again for the Tribe. And then Cal Quantrill in the bullpen got the job done. The Indians win the game 3-1. They get a split because they lost the opener. Shoddy defense and the lack of a timely hit led to an 8-6 loss in extra innings. However, there was some history made in game one.
Now the payoff pitch. Strike three, call, curveball, and a new club record. 8 consecutive strikeouts for Tristan McKenzie. A curveball got Jake Lamb looking.
McKenzie with 8 straight strikeouts. Well, this kid's got some talent. They just got to keep putting him out there. He breaks the record of 7 in a row set by Corey Kluber. But the Indians lose that game, and for the second straight day, they get a split in a 7-inning doubleheader. On the 7-inning games, here's what Terry Francona says.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. You're trying not to have, you know, a bunch of roster moves and pitching and everything. And so I'm okay with it. You know, I think there's other rules that I'll probably save my fight for.
Now, it should be noted, game one did go to extras in the 7-inning format. It actually was an 8-inning game. Now, the series will continue tonight. And how about this? It is a 9-inning game tonight. Yes. Shane Bieber on the mound. 6:10 first pitch. We'll have it for you right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. By getting the split, the Indians remain 3.5 games behind the White Sox. NBA playoffs. The Wizards stay alive with a 122-114 win over the Sixers, but Philly's up 3-1. Utah has now taken a 3-1 lead over Memphis. Lakers and Suns game 5 tonight. Looks like L.A. will be without Anthony Davis, and that is a key game now in that series in the Valley of the Sun. Fans in the stands for the NBA games have produced some ugly incidents already. A fan stormed the floor during yesterday's Philadelphia-Washington game on Sunday. A Celtics fan threw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving. Both fans banned for life from the arenas and also now face criminal charges. Well, this will be an interesting week for the Browns. They're scheduled to have off-season workouts. Myles Garrett indicated over the weekend he was headed back here to do just that. Well, it'll be interesting to see how many players do take part. And Odell Beckham Jr., with a video that he posted over the weekend, boy, he looks like he is ready to go as he's recovered from knee surgery. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Those stories coming up for you in 8 minutes. Let's talk flying and alcohol service making some news. Bring in Rory O'Neill this morning. We have stories all the time about people acting up on planes, alcohol normally involved. Now a couple of airlines are banning alcohol, huh?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. So the big incident we saw was caught on videotape last weekend. A Southwest Airlines flight attendant had 2 teeth knocked out during a confrontation with one of the passengers. Well, now Southwest has said it's not going to reinstate alcohol sales on its planes, and then American Airlines said it won't restart either. They were supposed to be restarting this month, but said they'll wait until until September when the mask requirement goes away. So Southwest and American Airlines not serving alcohol in the skies. This decision largely based on the fact that there have been 2,500 reports of unruly passengers just this year.
You wonder how many unruly passengers there will be now when they figure out they can't get a drink at 30,000 feet, too.
Well, and how many load up before getting on the plane is the other issue as well. But, you know, they're trying to say, look, to protect the flight attendants who are doing critical jobs, they think that this might help. Also gives flight attendants less to do when they're in the cabin, so hopefully they'll be able to pay more attention and give more time to passengers who may need that extra attention.
I think you're right, though, about the bar and the last drink before you get on the flight. That'll probably be a part of it. All right, Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
And now, 5 good minutes.
COVID and the vaccine. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, she works at Fox a lot. Maybe you've seen her before. She's written a book called Panic Attack, playing politics with science in the fight against COVID-19. Interesting read about how we've handled this pandemic the last year plus. Hey, doctor, good morning. Let me start with first the vaccine that we're all talking about. And I just think this Operation Warp Speed to get it to us and get it in our arms, I think that's been overlooked as to how fast that happened.
First of all, I think one of the most incredible accomplishments that has come out of the last 15 months is the fact that Operation Warp Speed was able to help deliver 3 successful vaccines in the United States to get us to the place where we are right now. And I say that with caution because I don't want people to, again, feel that anything was expedited in haste. And I can tell you, if you asked me last January, February, if we would have a vaccine right now, I was like, I don't think so, because we've never done it that fast, and we've been doing coronavirus vaccine research for decades, and we've yet to get one. But what happened? President Trump, being the businessman, said, listen, I trust you scientists. I'm going to put forth billions of dollars. You start working on something, I'll start making it. And if you say it's good to go, we're going to be ready to ship it out. That's never been done before. Financing vaccine campaigns has always been the rate limiting step, and they always do the research, then it gets approved, and then they start working on the manufacturing and distribution. But this was done in parallel under Operation Warp Speed, which is why we were able to get them so early on.
Do you see this playing out with other diseases at all?
So absolutely. I would say the mRNA vaccine technology by far and foremost is the most important thing that is going to continue. We're going to continue seeing it, not just for pathogens, but also for cancer vaccines. That's another thing that we're working on. How can we prevent cancers? How can we prevent cancers from recurring in people? And this mRNA technology is becoming so incredibly successful, and mainly because they find that it's actually easy to make. Once they've been able to identify how to make it, it's easy to make. It's easy to kind of tweak, which is why you're going to start seeing if we need a booster shot, the mRNA booster is going to be quite easy to do as opposed to traditional vaccines.
Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the book is Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. Couple things I marked here. It looks like a lot of people, institutions let us down. Things that we were always counting on, CDC, the WHO, over and over again, it seemed like the advice was wrong, or they just weren't sure, or there was a cover-up in almost every level of this thing, Doctor?
Well, I can tell you, when I started researching for my book, I thought it was imperative to discuss the possible origins of the virus, as well as the cover-up that was going on with the CCP, just in terms of cases and whistleblowers, as well as what occurred with the World Health Organization. There was certainly a failure there, and they did demonstrate during this time that they have been compromised. When it comes to some of the other institutions, such as the CDC or even Dr. Fauci, I would say that I don't necessarily know if it's as nefarious as maybe what went on with the World Health Organization. In the beginning, yes, there was a lot of things coming out. We didn't have a lot of information. So I don't fault Dr. Fauci and the CDC early on. However, what I do fault them on is the fact that they were not able to change as they got more information, and they tried to maintain their original narrative instead of just saying "mea culpa, I've gotten this wrong." They just pushed on.
Finally, I know you got to run, but you also are concerned about continued censorship. We communicate in so many ways, social media, and it seems like in this pandemic we also saw that as well as far as information.
Now, that was, of course, a huge topic that I decided to write about, because there's discord in science and research and amongst physicians all the time, and that's completely normal. But what was not normal is what the media decided to do with that discord. They turned people against each other, and if you were speaking against what was popular opinion, Dr. Fauci, whomever, you were deemed as anti-science. And therefore, they were trying to suppress the quest of normal trial and error discovery. And it's appalling what occurred, especially with hydroxychloroquine and face masks and lockdowns and everything else you can imagine. I mean, hydroxychloroquine itself had to get its own chapter in the book because of the incredible scandal that unfolded with it.
Fox News medical contributor Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the book is Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science and the Fight Against COVID-19. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
First, let's talk about the story out of Israel, bringing Michael Bauer this morning. You know, we see this headline every once in a while, Netanyahu under attack when it comes to politically trying to keep his government together. This time the challenge comes from a former, someone who was aligned with him, that he was even was further right than him, right, in
yes.
Natalie Benetti?
One of Netanyahu's lieutenant, Naftali Bennett, was somebody that had worked with him and had been somebody that he'd been trusted for a period of time, and is now somebody that is turning on him, saying that he will form a new political coalition that will lead to new leadership in Israel, basically, in essence, ousting after 25 years Benjamin Netanyahu. So now whether that happens or not, it's yet to be seen, right? We know that Sunday night, this former lieutenant, Naftali, announced that he would be working with opposition Yair Lapid to form a new government. The two of them together would be forming this government. Now, you've got Bennett, who basically, for all intents and purposes, has been welcomed by a surprising cross-section of left-wing and right-wing Israelis. And Lapid, who heads the centrist party, also trying to form a coalition with at least 8 political parties that run the political spectrum from the left to the right. Now, the way this works is after what was, for all intents and purposes, an inconclusive March 23rd election in Israel as to who the leadership would be, Netanyahu had the first chance to put together a governing coalition. He wasn't able to do so. In essence, his efforts failed. So that prompted Israel's figurehead president to then say, well, if Netanyahu can't do it, we're going to give the other guys an opportunity to come up with something. And that's where Bennett has pulled together what he hopes is going to be this coalition that will be formed together and everybody will agree upon, although it seems very unlikely, given the backgrounds of all of these different opposition parties, some level of leadership that can happen for at least a 2-year time frame opening up here with Bennett in the lead as the prime minister. And then that would shift over to having Lapid take over in the second 2 years on some level. So it's all kinds of questions here as to how this is going to work out. Frankly, this group still has a lot of promises to make and a lot of groups that they have to gain support of. They do, at the end of the day, have to get 61 of the 120 parliament members in Israel in agreement. If they can get that, then they can have that parliament can vote them into power and have them take over for Benjamin Netanyahu. But they literally have until tomorrow to do that, to late tomorrow, to get everybody involved, make sure that the people in parliament get the right numbers there, make sure that they're approving of it. Then they can get into a place where possibly you could be 25 years to the end of Benjamin Netanyahu's reign as prime minister in Israel.
All this political noise with, of course, the backdrop of that ceasefire still holding with Gaza.
Yes, that's right.
All right, our Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
Stay safe, Bill.
Tech Tuesday coming up in 5. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, some help for us parents when it comes to kids and online. A few tips. You may have to ask your kid, though, to show you the app to help you keep them offline, but that's okay. Derek will explain coming up. Cleveland 3 News, Austin Love is set up downtown on 4th Street this morning. Austin, good morning. We are hours away from at least officially the state lifting a lot of these different orders, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. Yeah, at midnight on Wednesday morning, so right at midnight, for the first time in over a year, all COVID-19 health orders will be lifted in Ohio, and of course, everyone will be excited about this. Just that one towards normalcy, but really no one is more excited about this, I think, than restaurants who have just been through the ringer over the past year, a year full of unknowns, the desolate streets and ever-changing restrictions for businesses that have forced restaurants for a long period of time to go to-go orders, and then they had limited capacity. All of those social distancing rules, mask orders, and the capacity rules will finally be lifted tonight at midnight, so starting tomorrow. So a lot of restaurants really looking forward to this, but we're looking at today as well. And this isn't a complete fix, overnight fix for restaurants. It's going to take, experts predict it's going to take at least a few years for this whole industry to finally recover. But this is definitely just exactly what they need to get on that road to full recovery business-wise.
Austin, as I understand it, though, a restaurant or a business could still ask me to wear a mask. It's simply the state saying it's not a mandate.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's kind of where we're going right now, which is why I've always continued to bring my mask. I'm fully vaccinated right now, so there are certain different places like Starbucks you can go in there without a mask that has, if you're fully vaccinated after June 2nd. But yeah, they can still, this is on the business's discretion where if they want you to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask, or they can simply just refuse service to you.
Cleveland 3 News, Austin Love set up downtown on 4th Street, which hopes to be a lot busier in the days and weeks to come. Austin, thanks, pal.
Thanks, Bill.
Speaking of traveling with masks or no masks, we were in long Memorial Day weekend, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia. Kentucky still is like lockdown, it seems. You couldn't go into a McDonald's. It was all drive-through. Even a Cracker Barrel that was open where you could go in, they still had the sign for the mask. West Virginia, the same way. Maybe you ran into that as well as if you were traveling some. But at least here in Ohio, midnight tonight, as far as the state is concerned, so many of these orders will be lifted, but still businesses could ask you to wear a mask when you walk in. Entertainment news, names, notes trending this morning. Here's Jason Nathanson.
Gordon Ramsay back at it, traveling around the world for his Nat Geo show, Uncharted.
Where are the cows?
So, in here. They're in this brush.
This season, he goes to places including Portugal, Maine, and Texas. And he tells me the people and food he found in the Lone Star State.
I just thought they were incredible. And then when I'm on this horse with these two young cowgirls and I'm being shown how to ride a horse properly, and then the beef, holy mackerel. The beef was just extraordinary, like no other. So, yeah, it's got to be inspirational.
Season 3 of Uncharted premiered yesterday, and you can find the new episode today, streaming on Disney+. Tonight, it's the return of America's Got Talent on ABC, Lego Masters on Fox, Chopped on the Food Network, and on OWN, it's the special The Legacy of Black Wall Street.
Keep up the good work.
And Spider-Man can now legally rent a car. Actor Tom Holland turns 25 today, while actress and comedian Amy Schumer is now 40. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
James Corden, also in the news this morning, says the return of carpool karaoke, funny bit, doesn't know when it'll be back, might return to the late show, he hopes so. He dished that on the Ellen show, set to air today. All right, a couple other notes here with Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, alongside. I just tweeted the video of this. This is Friends.
5, 6, 7, 8.
You've been watching the Friends reunion, several moments been recreated. Courtney Cox, David Schwimmer, and the dance, of
yes.
course, right?
I had to step back in time to kind of remember this. This is, was their New Year's Eve dance they did in an episode. So she ended up recreating this with Ed Sheeran. Courtney Cox and David Schwimmer were pitched to recreate this, but they didn't want to do this in front of the audience. But would have made this better, though, Bill? She should have had Bruce Springsteen do it with her. Since
the boss?
Yeah, since they both danced together and danced in the dark, you know. So, if she could have got a hold of him and he would have done that, I think it would have been maybe 100 times better.
Really?
Yes, the boss would have been
perfect.
He's all right. But, if you wanted to be clever about it, you should have had the boss.
Wills & Cider Facebook, willsandcider.com. You can check out the new dance with Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
All right, thanks,
Scoot. You're welcome.
In 5, Terry Pluto will join us. Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Talk about our team.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Let's spend 5 of those with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. I'm Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Terry, good morning.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Just mentioned Rocky Colavito. You, of course, wrote a great book on Rocky, and they will break ground this morning at Tony Brush Park, Mayfield Road, on a statue of Rocky. Terry?
That's kind of neat. It really is, and I know Rocky's very happy about that. And it's funny because now most people have no clue who he was. You know, you might as well say Babe Ruth or somebody else because last time he played for the Indians was the middle 60s.
But back then, Terry, he was the guy, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, it really... It's one of those kind of, you had to have been there to fully understand what Colavito meant, because Rocky and Herb Score were roommates in the minors. They were very close friends. And Herb came up to the Indians in 1955. This was after they won the pennant in 54. And Rocky came up the following year. Rocky was going to be the home run king. Herb was going to be the next Bob Feller. And for a couple of years, it looked like that was going to happen. You know, Herb eventually got hurt. Rocky was traded. The dream thing kind of went away. But they were just two young, exciting players doing the things that, frankly, in baseball now, it was really funny. Rocky would strike out 85 or 90 times a year. And they would complain, oh, you just strikes out so much.
Yes. Yeah. How,
you know, he's hitting 35 to 45 homers, but he's striking out 80 times.
Yeah. How things have changed. Yeah. Well, you're right. It was an era that if you lived it, it was something special. And it's great that they're honoring him. And of course, we're coming up on his four home run game. That'll be June 10th. He did that in 1959. Terry, Memorial Day weekend, kind of a milepost in the baseball season. So where are you with the Indians right now?
I'm really pleased. I didn't know if they could be anywhere near 500 this year, and especially if I had a pretty good idea that they would be without, you know, Plesac and Reyes and Roberto Perez for what's a couple weeks now with that group being gone. I think I picked them at 500 just because I didn't feel like going under 500 on a Terry Francona team. So I'm pleased, and we'll see what happens as it goes along. But they are sort of they got some spirit to that team. I think we've seen that. You know, they come back, they, like a young team, they'll do some really, really dumb things on the bases or defensively. But they bounce back.
And they just keep on coming. Even Naylor, the way he plays, I like the approach. And, of course, they've got a terrific manager. Terry, we've seen back-to-back days of seven-inning games and doubleheaders. Mm-hmm. What do you think of going that? Is that, I don't know if it's something they're going to keep. I think they might. What are your thoughts about it?
I like it. A couple of the rule changes I didn't think I'd like in the beginning. I do. I like the runner on second base, and I like the seven-inning doubleheader. I think it makes the game move quicker, not only because there's two fewer innings, so obviously that, but also I just think it brings more of an urgency to the innings that are being played. And that's a big deal. You know, Francona himself said, when you're in the fifth inning, you're thinking, well, this is really the seventh. But, you know, I better get going, whether it's win the game now or try to score a run earlier. I like anything also that forces a manager to think about playing for one run. You know, like the runner on second base, bunt him over. Just because baseball is dying from a lack of action. Not that the games just take 3+ hours, but that with all the strikeouts and the walks, nothing's going on in that time period.
You're right about the seven innings, and you said Terry talked about this with Hamilton. It just seems, in listening to the game, the pace seems quicker. I don't know what it is, but hey, you got to score, right? You got
to
score.
You have to. Just like with that guy's on second base, do I bunt or not?
Right.
And good. I like to see these guys have to realize I need to get that bunt down. And maybe they'll practice it a little bit. I don't know. The strikeouts, the walks.
Yeah.
I think all those things, it's just, I'm falling asleep.
Tribe White Sox 6:10 tonight, and we got Mr. Bieber on the mound. We'll have it for you on WTAM 1100. The Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by the Brew Kettle cranks up our coverage around 5 o'clock here and, of course, on the iHeartRadio app as well. All right, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Good stuff as always. Terry, thanks.
Take care.
AM 1100. Trending this morning, Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Scott Scooter East, producer extraordinaire alongside one of those that believes these things happen in threes. So we got two down.
Yes, BJ Thomas passed away. Raindrops keep falling on my head. And Gavin Loveboat McLeod, you know him from Mary Tyler Moore and The Loveboat. Captain Steuben passed away at 90.
Over the weekend at 90. Saw Ed Asner tweeted, Betty, it's you and me now.
Right, Ed Asner, Betty White, and check this out. Gavin McLeod got offered the role for Archie Bunker.
Really?
And he turned it down because he didn't like the bigoted comments that were in the script and everything. And he also tried out for Lou Grant before Ed Asner got it.
He always seemed just like a nice guy. I mean, the interviews and all, it's Gavin McLeod, you know? Yeah.
He used to catch him on all the 70s and 80s game shows.
Yeah, he was one of
those things.
Murray. Courtney Cox has redone the dance.
Yes, with Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran, that's up there for you as
well. Yeah, check that out because that's from an episode of Ross and Monica doing their New Year's Eve.
You thought that Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, that would have made it a lot better because since she did Dancing in the Dark with them, and, you know, that put her up on the map.
That was the start of her career.
Yes, right. And if she would have, you know, if the boss would have come out and did that dance, that would have been probably 100 times better, I think.
All right, we also have a guy who found a Bob Dylan album and has returned it to the library.
Yes, Howard Simon, Bill, took out a copy of the 1970 album from University Heights Library in the spring of 73 when he was 14 years old, and he finally returned it after...
found it in a box?
17,480 days.
He owed about $1,700. I guess he wrote a note, sorry.
Yes, I think he did give a little compensation.
You think so?
Yes,
at the University Heights Library, so that's up there for you as well. Dylan's always in the news somehow.
Somehow.
In the past 2 months, he's almost in the news every day.
He's been trending, yeah. All right, thanks, Scoot. Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Check those stories out. Great tradition, the East-West High School All-Star Football Game. Coming up this weekend, you were at their banquet.
Yes, that banquet
representing us a few weeks ago.
Yes, because we got the Golden Deeds Award, and it was very kind of them.
Yes,
and thanks, Joanne. And that night was very nice, very touching, and a lot of good congratulations going around, especially for the Greater Cleveland Coaches Association. And that was on the 19th of April and went to the banquet and was very, very great.
And that annual game will be played this year.
This Friday. Yes,
yeah. Coming up Friday. So in five, Rob Senior, who's the assistant football coach out at Orange, will join us. We'll talk about that. Great tradition, right?
Right. Okay. It's great because this is their last chance to suit it up in the high school form. And, you know, what a memory that they make.
Speaking of memories, I just ran into a buddy who was at a wedding on Saturday. He said it was miserable. Outdoors, they had the tent, the dancing, everything. That you know, Friday was bad.
Saturday was impossible.
I mean, the grass was wet and everything.
It felt like
It's crazy.
Middle of March.
Oh, those
it was like mid-March.
Friday was, yeah, it was, they never really forecast that wind, I thought. No. I heard
I
rain
mean, one
and
thing
that.
To say chilly and rainy, but when you had the wind,
it was just wicked.
Terrible.
Yep.
Yes, all right, we'll talk to Rob here about five about football game. Thanks, Scott. Wilson Center, Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. You can see more of those stories. Sports, Mike Snyder in. Let's talk some high school football. Yes, some high school football. And celebrate the great athletes who will suit up one more time in the annual East-West High School All-Star Scholarship football game. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire as well, and Rob Senior, the assistant football coach at Orange High School, kind enough to join us. Coach, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. Scooter was at the we had the banquet a few weeks ago. You were there, and it was a great night to experience this great tradition, first of all.
Yes, it was. And thanks again, Rob, and for the Golden Deeds Award that you gave us. And as I mentioned, Rob, in the speech, in life, you just don't get a last time to do something. And this is the last time that these boys, these young gentlemen, get to suit up and have a good time for a football game.
It's a great tradition Friday night. Rob, tell us about it.
So the Greater Cleveland Football Coaches Association sponsors the East-West All-Star Game yearly. This will be our 49th edition. This year it's going to take place at Independence High School. And it's an awesome event, like Scooter said, for these high school outgoing seniors to have one last chance to put on the pads, the helmets, and go at it out on the gridiron.
Well, you know, I know football is always a topic in our town, Rob, year-round, so a chance to see a game on Friday. And really, this is a game now. You've been able to, obviously, you couldn't do it last year, but there's a little spice to it, East versus West. What have you been able to do in terms of preparations for this week's game?
So, like you said, Mike, unfortunately, we were not able to have the game last year. However, we did choose players for last year's game, and they will be honored at halftime this year. I want to make sure that everybody knows that we're going to honor them. But this year, the game has been the preparation has been going on for quite a while. The East will be coached by Ryan Williams, the offensive coordinator at Gilmore. The West will be coached by John Lundy, the head coach at Cleveland Central Catholic. They've been practicing for over a week now, really working hard to get ready for this game. And like you said, while it's a scholarship game, it's for a great cause. These kids go out there and give it their all and really want to win the game next Friday night.
Yeah, there have really been some great games over the years, and the East does lead the series overall. The East bragging rights. But certainly for this last time, as Scooter mentioned, last high school game, and boy, it's been a great tradition. Players like Travis Kelce now with the Chiefs have played in this game, haven't they, Rob?
But we are very proud of the tradition as the longest-running all-star game in the state of Ohio. We've had great players like Travis and many other great players who went on to great college careers and, more importantly, careers outside of the football realm. It's just great kids that we get to see every year.
$8 at the gate. The money will provide scholarship money for deserving high school football players who will be attending their first year of college and playing football. The game, the festivities, a big thanks to partners at University Hospital, the Cleveland Browns, with cooperation from Winning Edge Fundraising, Morgan Services, Bedford Mentor Nissan, and Sports Focus Sporting Goods, all a big part of this. And Rob, it is a Friday night, and kickoff what time?
Kickoff is at 7 o'clock, and like you said, Bill, this is a team effort. We have unbelievable sponsors, as you mentioned. Daryl Taylor from the Browns is just such a huge help. The Browns donate uniforms to us every couple years, so the kids will be donning some old Cleveland Browns jerseys and pants, and it's a team effort. I have a great team that helps me. Larry and Joanne Keller, who you guys know, are still awesome helps. Tom Mitchin and Chris Kasorik. Again, this is not a one-man show. This is a huge team effort that goes on every year.
Well said. First started back in 1972. Be played at Independence High School this year, right, Friday night?
Yeah, Independence High School. We've moved around through the years with the great people at Independence. Athletic Director Andy McGee has been a great help, and we're excited to have the game right in the middle of the East and West. So it's really a great location this year.
That's right.
Congratulations to every player, family involved. One last picture and some great stuff on Friday night. Hey, finally, Coach, you know, Mike and I, we appreciate the recognition and all at the banquet. We were unable to make it. Scooter went. I'm a little concerned when he mentioned speech. Did he go too long? Was it okay that night?
Well, luckily, we started a little bit late. We knew that Scooter had to get in bed so he could be with you guys in the morning. So he did not go too long, but it was a great night, and we were glad to honor you guys who have been such an awesome
help. I appreciate it, Scooter. I told Scooter, less is more. Just be on it real quick. You're on the clock. But we thank you, Coach, and the organization for the great work over the years, all the volunteers that have worked on this, and you guys were very kind to recognize us. Friday night at Independence High School, first held 1972, our annual East-West High School All-Star Scholarship Football game. Coach, thank you so much for the time. Good luck. Have fun Friday.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks. I hope to see everybody out there Friday night.
Quick story on tipping. According to a report, a waiter has recounted an experience with a customer that left a large tip just to impress a date. I guess there's a Twitter handle, Anonymous Waiter, that you could follow, and people complain about, you know, service and the way they're treated as far as waiters and all. So this guy posted, I was reading this last night, the guy posted this story, works at a restaurant. Man came in with his date, because he could tell it was a date night.
Mm-hmm.
So the waiter says this guy orders the highest quality wine. They ordered each appetizer.
Uh-oh.
He said he was in a real celebration mood. I mean, just really going out about, you know, pick whatever you want. Do you want the lobster? You want this or that?
And he's
the
lady's broke.
Just kind of like, you know. So the restaurant employee, the waiter, said they were, you know, great, wonderful couple and just, you know, chatting every time he came to the table. And the guy was really just trying to make it a big experience and great for the date. So he says he brings the bill. The bill was $289
for
the meal.
Wow.
He throws a $100 tip on it.
Wow.
And he makes sure that his date sees him through the $100 tip as he's writing it out you know, on his American Express MasterCard. That's what? What's 289 plus 100? Here you go. Nice job, Derek.
Thank you.
You know?
It's all easy that I just give 100 since I got it.
Yeah. Okay. It rounds things off, right?
Yes.
Okay. The waiter then says the couple gets up. They go to the door where the guy, they have to wait on his car, right? So the lady steps out. He comes back. Tracks down the waiter and says, look, I want to take that tip off. Here's a 20.
No!
The manager, I guess, is standing there and says, wait a minute. We ran this through too late. And they go, no, I can't tip $100. Come on. That's not fair. So he wanted his date to see that he tipped $100. Then he went back into the waiter.
Give it 20.
Wow. You take that off as a 20.
That's weak.
That's weak.
Well, you got to do that. If you're going to really do it the right way, you got to know the waiter at the restaurant. So that way, and then that way there,
he'll do it the right way.
No,
somebody
no,
have a tip?
No, then he'll give you the money. He'll give you the money back. He'll give you the money back later.
$20 on $289.
Come on.
Well, no, of course not. You got to give it. You know, you got to give over 40, man.
Probably 50.
You probably have to give.
You don't think it's such a bad
at least 50.
Scooter's thinking, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Nah, you find the waiter that you know and tell him, look, man, we'll split it up later. Or just, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Maybe he was the one you were talking about.
It's all part of the date, you know. You had to.
You should talk some tech.
And now, 5 good minutes.
By the way, the month of June, there'll be a lot going on. Got the Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3. We also have the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. Normally some news out of that. The guide is through everything always is Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad. Hi, Derek. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Just a couple things. I know this Apple stuff is all rumors, but the operating 15, the iOS 5 will be coming out. There's some speculation how outdated it may make some of the Apple products, but that'll be something to watch this summer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the operating system really makes so many different changes. We've had so much actually even just go on with the recent versions, with those new things that ask you if you want apps to track you and that sort of thing, those options that pop up. So when the news comes out of what new functions are available, we'll go ahead and we'll make sure to go through those.
A couple tips while I got you this morning, and Derek knows your time is valuable, so he's put together a few quickies here to help you enjoy some tech even more over the summertime. Let's talk USB drive here first, and using it the right way and how it can really help you.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all had that problem where we've put the plug in, it turns out it's not fitting right, so we flip it over, it still doesn't fit right. Turn over a third time, and sometimes it feels like it doesn't even work that third time. Easiest way to make sure that you're putting that USB in the correct way, if you ever just take a look at a USB cable On one side, you'll see that little Brandon USB logo, kind of looks like a small cactus.
Yeah.
Just remember, that's the side that actually should be facing up when you're putting it in horizontally. If it's one of those situations where you do have one of those laptops where it's more of a vertical, that USB logo should be facing you. So that's just, again, just something you can usually in a lot of cases even just kind of feel for it. Sometimes they have just a little bump on that logo itself, but just take a quick look ahead of time, whether it's a cable, the thumb drives, just look for the little USB cactus and you're ready to go.
I like that. Didn't know that. I thought maybe I was the only person that flips it over five times before you get it in. Okay, now, talk to me about another tip here from Derek. Reopen a closed browser tab.
You know, absolutely. You know, a lot of us now, we with the browser tabs, we end up with, like, you know, 20, 30 of them by the end of the day. Right. Sometimes you accidentally click one or two that you were really meaning to read. And if you want to get them back, a great tip that actually works across browsers is that if you hit Control plus Shift plus T on your PC, on your Mac, it's actually Command plus Shift plus T for tab. It'll actually go ahead and bring up that last tab that you just closed. So it just brings it right back up.
Okay. Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, four quick tech tips to save you some time. We love sharing things, especially YouTube videos, but, you know, time is valuable. I can't sit and watch for 10 sure. minutes for someone to, you know, the exact point that they say something's funny. You've got a tip on that as far as sharing a video at the exact spot you want somebody to see?
Yes, yeah, so a lot of people will just go ahead and copy the website link at the top of the page. Really great thing to just save time, just like you said, for people is to look for that on YouTube, that share button. Usually when you bring that up, just underneath it, there's going to be a checkbox that'll have a time listed. Usually starts off with 00, but yeah. If you check that, it'll normally go to the current time that you're at on the video. So sometimes I recommend just going to where you want to start, hit pause, and then hit that share button. You could also even just manually put in a time that you wanted to start. This way, when you then copy that link from that share box and send it to somebody in the email, put it on the web, whatever, when they click on it, it'll go exactly to that point in the video that you're trying to show them that funny or inspiring part.
Okay. And one other tip, we're getting a lot of these, you know, scammer phone calls, but also you're noticing more people complaining about texts as well. And there is something you can do as far as complaining about junk text messages, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The great thing to do is you can actually report them very easily, regardless of phone provider. If you just forward the message to 7726, which of course spells spam, on some phones they'll even have a report junk link in your messaging app. But again, just the easiest way, regardless, even on the older feature phones, if you just forward that message to 7726. Usually most of the phone providers will automatically take that. They'll send a text back saying, hey, could you also send us the phone number that came from? Hmm. That way they can go ahead and put that in their system. It helps their system learn help try to filter some of that spam out before it gets to you.
Okay.
And just go ahead and do that before you go ahead and block that contact. It's just a really great way to help everyone out.
I like that. Forward it to 7726. Good tip. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, four good tips to help you out with tech. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012, always posting some great content. Derek, thanks much.
Thank you.
A couple different things on COVID this morning. According to Cleveland.com, now that anyone over the age of 12, of course, is eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine, more people now looking at younger children. Should they get a shot? Well, you got to get it tested. Sites in Ohio, part of the first-ever clinical trial to evaluate the vaccine in children between 6 months and 12 years. Those sites, including the Centers Pediatric in South Euclid, would possibly start Phase 2 and Phase 3 trials in the coming weeks. Our Aaron Katursky joins me this morning on these variants of COVID that are concerning to a lot of people, and just naming them has been a bit controversial. The WHO out this morning saying we can't go by parts of the country or parts of the world. We've got to name them differently. Aaron, what's the story here?
Yeah, the WHO now wants to say that this isn't the best way to label variants because even though that they may have been discovered in a particular place, that they don't necessarily reflect that place's you know, the virus capacity, or and they don't want there to be any stigma. So rather than call it the UK variant, they're now going to call it Alpha, and they're going to go on down the list of the Greek alphabet.
It's like naming hurricanes.
Like naming hurricanes, yeah. Or sororities.
Okay.
Yeah. And the idea, according to the World Health Organization, is to make it a little less complicated. Now, getting everybody used to a new system, we'll see if you know how well it catches on. Scientifically, the variants are still going to be the same. You know, B117. In those names, there's important scientific information, and so they don't want to lose that. But for the public, they're just going to call it, you know, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, and so on.
It's like they don't want to stigmatize as well when it comes to different parts of the country. You know, this is a question for you, me, people that, you know, as far as, you know, working and living through this thing, is come fall, I'm guessing the question is going to be about booster shots. They're probably going to have to come up with another booster, especially with some of these variants, Aaron.
We know that Pfizer's already, you know, at work on it, and so is Moderna, which just a couple of minutes ago announced, by the way, Bill, that it's going to be seeking full FDA approval for its vaccine, which, like the others, is currently being distributed under an emergency use authorization. But the companies are now studying to see how long the protection lasts from these vaccines, and how and whether boosters need to be administered. But we know that Pfizer is already planning on it. It's just a matter of when and how to distribute it.
That breaking this morning with Pfizer, with that news, our Aaron Katursky. Aaron, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
President Biden has a goal, 70% of us with at least one shot by the 4th of July. States of California and Maryland, the 11th and 12th states, to be there so far at 70%. India, by the way, after a spike in cases, that was just a horrible spike they had back in February and March and a surge in April. They now say their cases have plummeted in the last couple of weeks. And the border with Canada, of course, continues to be closed, and they say will for a while. Out of Canada this morning, 82% of Canadians working from home, 82% say they don't want to go back. Let's talk some Tribe. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and scheduled every Tuesday. Of course, joining us always is Jim Rosenhaus. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, guys, they split the doubleheader yesterday. Rosie, let's talk first about Tristan McKenzie. I mean, almost 2 weeks ago, he was sent down trying to figure things out. Headline yesterday, he has 8 straight strikeouts. Wow.
New franchise record. All the great pitchers. And McKenzie, who has that strikeout ability, and now he finds himself in the record book, which is pretty neat for him. He's obviously been on the roller coaster this year, and trying to figure it out as a young pitcher with really over the course of his minor league career, not as many innings as you'd like because of injuries. And now he's healthy and doing a lot of learning at the major league level. But these last two starts, when he was supposed to be at Columbus, but circumstances have allowed him to start in the major leagues, have been terrific. And I know he allowed 5 runs yesterday, but there was some shaky defense behind him. And I think we saw with the 8 straight strikeouts, when he gets on a roll, he can be really, really good.
And, Jim, it was nice to see him come back after that 4-run second inning and then pitch the way he did. That showed a little more maturity from him, didn't it?
Absolutely, because the other ones, that would have been it. He wouldn't have made it out of that inning. And we've seen that already this season. So to be able to get out of that inning and then come back and get it rolling, that was really, really encouraging, because that's what the good ones do. They're going to give up, but how do you limit it and then get your team fairly deep into the game?
You know, another guy that kind of jumped out to me yesterday with the way he played was Bradley Zimmer. What the dimension he can bring with his speed, Jim, maybe he's here to stay. Let's hope, right?
Well, you know, Tom and I talked about that at the end of the day, because he did some good things at the plate, and right away he's your best defensive center fielder and a true center fielder. We saw that when he was up in 17 and the first portion of 18. He can go get him out there, and he has a good arm, and maybe this is that time for him. He's really had to be patient and get healthy, and he is now. So maybe this is that chance. You don't like to get too excited over one day, but it was certainly encouraging, and I'm sure the Indians are really pleased with what they saw.
Yeah, as you touch on the dimensions that he brings, the defense, they need to get better there, and then a chance with a guy like him to create some runs. That's something that's an ongoing issue for this team. Yeah, the Jose Ramirez home run is nice, but you just can't live and die with that every day.
Hey, he puts the ball in play. If he does, even if it's a ground ball on the infield, and we saw it yesterday, he has a chance to beat it out for a base hit, and that's not everybody, but he certainly has that type of speed.
What'd you think of Quantrill yesterday?
Really liked him, and again, you just wonder at what point will he be in the rotation for good, and they had to get through those doubleheaders, and they have some off days coming up, but I think once they get back into a schedule where they'll need the every five-man rotation, you may see him back in there because he sure looked good yesterday, and he brings a lot to the table as a starting pitcher as well as a reliever. They'll miss that from him, but I think if they can get him in there and pitching five, six innings at a time, they'd like that.
Shane Bieber tonight, guys, the White Sox, Tony La Russa, I mean, a week or two ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, the story was about maybe he'd lost the clubhouse. There was some arguing back and forth. I know we split with him yesterday, but overall, White Sox playing some good ball.
They really are, and they'll be a team that the Indians most likely will be trying to chase down all summer long because they're really good. And, I talked to some of their guys yesterday on the broadcast side, and they said it's more of a national story than a local story. Everything's fine down there.
Why are the problems always more of a national story? I don't care what you're talking about. That's national, local. We don't care. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. Us in the know.
Yeah, there's national media people. They're always looking for something. You know, them and Nick Camino. Yeah. They're always trying to stir something up.
That's true.
Ain't it? Jim Rosenhaus on the Tribe. We got a 6:10 first pitch tonight for you. That means a Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by Brew Kettle cranks up at 5, which means Tribble only works 2 hours.
That is right.
I just want to note that for everybody.
That is right.
And keep anybody's keeping score. Rosie and Hammy with a call at 6:10 tonight. Thanks, pal.
When are we going to play an 8 o'clock game in the morning so you can only work a couple hours?
Yeah, right. By the way, you're scheduled again Thursday, okay? Just so you know. That's the way it works. Tuesdays.
Thank you for that
Thursdays.
Reminder.
Thursdays. Just want to remind you. Thanks, Rosie.
Appreciate that.
See you. You got it. No problem. You want paid, you got to show up, man. Hammy, this time tomorrow. Hey, there's another note. It's in the news, and Mike and I have been talking about this some. Groundbreaking today for a statue for Rocky Colavito.
Yep, as Don't Knock the Rock, and he was certainly just a great player here and really a personality that people really... He was a magnetic kind of guy when you look back in the late 50s and the 60s, and then he could hit home runs, and we're coming up on the anniversary of his 4 home run game, June 10th, Bill.
We caught up with Terry Pluto this morning. He talked about that as well.
That's kind of neat. It really is. And I know Rocky's very happy about that. And it's funny because now most people have no clue who he was. You know, you might as well say Babe Ruth or somebody else because the last time he played for the Indians was the middle 60s.
But back then, Terry, he was the guy, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, it really... It's one of those kind of you had to have been there to fully understand what Colavito meant because Rocky and Herb Score were roommates in the minors. They were very close friends. And Herb came up to the Indians in 1955. This was after they won the pennant in 54. And Rocky came up the following year. Rocky was going to be the home run king. Herb was going to be the next Bob Feller. And for a couple of years, it looked like that was going to happen. You know, Herb eventually got hurt. Rocky was traded. The dream thing kind of went away, but they were just two young, exciting players doing the things that, frankly, in baseball now, it was really funny. Rocky would strike out 85 or 90 times a year, and they would complain, "Oh, you just strikes out so much."
Yes, yeah.
He's hitting 35 to 45 homers, but he's striking out 80 times.
Yeah, how things have changed.
And to this day, in a little league game around the city. Whenever some kid puts the bat behind us, I mean, there'll be somebody from the stands yell, Rocky Colavito.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Go get him, Rock.
More of our chat with Terry Pluto up on the Wills Insider Daily Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Plus, Derek Meister with some great tech tips for you this morning. And if you missed Jim Rosenhaus, our Tribe Talk with Jim as well. The Daily Wills Insider Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Thank you very much for following us there. Check it out and listen whenever you want. Aldo in Cleveland up next. Have a great day. Thanks.